If you recall, we were in the book of Haggai. I started a series in Haggai. The Lord laid this book upon my heart. There's so much deep truth in there. And as I told you last week, I thought I'd zip through the book of Haggai in two Sundays, but there's so much truth in it. As I began to study it, Lord has really brought a lot of things out and spoken to my heart through this book about the things, about my view of duty. How do I view the ministry? Am I viewing it? Am I obeying God? Am I obeying His will? And if you recall, just quickly in review, we read from Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. I want to go ahead and read these verses again, and then we'll get back into the book and try to finish up through verse 6 at least, and maybe a little bit farther. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. If you recall, we talked about how the children of Israel, the remnant there that was in Babylon, were commissioned by the king to come back, to return, for the sole and exact purpose of rebuilding the temple. We talked about how they began to rebuild that temple, and in less than a year, they had laid the foundation, and they were making very good progress, but then some adversities came in. And the people's minds began to wonder, is this God's will? And they began to question, and they began to come up with excuses. And we went through some of those excuses last week of how these excuses deterred the people from doing what they knew God's will was, from doing what God had plainly commanded them. Now, I know that the Lord does use circumstances to speak to different things in our life, to speak to us. But when we allow circumstances to deter us from what God's word says or from what we know is His will, then maybe we should stop and think, are we looking for excuses to do what we want? And we've got to carefully examine those things in the light of God's word and in light of what He's called us to do to understand what does He want us to do, or how is He trying to speak to me through these things that come into my life. You know, it's amazing. Many people can just go through life and God can bring circumstances and they just go right through them and it's no big deal to them. You know, think about sometimes God tries to get up with young people. Maybe He's trying to speak to their heart and maybe a car wreck, or maybe one of their friends, close friends, dies, or, you know, anything that can happen in their lives. And young people tend to just go right through them and not even care about the Lord speaking to them. And you wonder, when is the Lord's mercy going to run out on those that ignore what God's trying to say, that ignore God trying to speak to them in their lives? But here in the book of Haggai, we talked about different sets of excuses that the people came up with. We talked about that last week, how they viewed a certain set of circumstances and said, yes, you know, it just couldn't be the time to build God's house. But yet there were other things that were saying, you need to continue on with what the Lord's called you to do. You need to continue on and obey the duty that God has given to you. And when we ignore duty, then we are heading down the wrong path and we are deterring from the will of God. And here in verse 4, we find out that perhaps, maybe the people really were coming up with excuses because they were concentrating on their own selfish desires. They were concentrating on their houses. I love the way the prophet says that. Is it time for you, O ye? I mean, a really emphatic, I'm speaking to you people. You're living in these sealed, nice, elaborate, decked out houses, and the Lord's house is lying waste. We talked about how the word waste there means dried up like a desert. There's hardly any life to it. It's just been left there in ruin. And the house is lying waste, but the people are continuing on in their own lives, building and planting and growing and trying to accomplish and set their own lives in order. Now, verse 5, here comes the clear call from the prophet. We want to start here today in verse 5. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Verse 5 is the call for the people to change. The call for the people to begin to investigate their lives and think about what they're doing, think about the circumstances around them, and consider what God is trying to say to them. This word, consider your ways, the word consider, or this phrase, consider your ways, occurs some 5 times in the book of Haggai. We'll come to it as we continue to go through the book. Chapter 1, verse 5, it's again in verse 7 of chapter 1. Then in chapter 2, verse 15, he brings up the word, consider from this day and upward. And then in chapter 2, verse 18, it's mentioned two times, consider now, and then at the end of the verse, consider it. The prophet is clearly calling out for what the people needed to do. When we deter from our duty, and when God is trying to speak to us, how many times do we not stop and consider? But we continue to run headlong through our life and think that we're in control, think that it doesn't matter what God's wanting to do. We have got it all wrapped up. We know what we're doing, and we can continue on. Well, the prophet here is saying, let's stop. Let's consider your ways, you that are dwelling in your sealed houses, you that have forsaken the duty of God's call and left the temple lying in waste. Let's stop and consider your ways. Stop living your life to build up your houses and to build up your plants and your vineyards and your cattle, whatever it may have been for these people here. Stop what you're trying to do and consider what you are doing. Consider here is the Hebrew word sum, which literally means to put, place, set, or a point. The word therefore carries the idea of setting your heart on and to therefore consider or seriously think about. In Haggai, the word is used here in the imperative mood, which is the idea of a command. This is a direct command from God. I command you to consider, to take your mind and heart, and to seriously sit down and contemplate and prayerfully consider what in the world you are doing. What are your ways? This is the command of God for self-examination, especially concerning the light of the current spiritual condition of the people. How many times, dear people, do we not self-examine? It's so easy, it's so convicting to me to just continue on in our lives and continue on in the ministry, and we never stop and say, Lord, am I really growing with you? Lord, do I really desire to do this for your glory? Or is it some self-glory that I'm seeking as I'm serving you? How many times do we self-examine in light of God's word and say, Lord, please show me where I'm wrong. Point out to me the things that I'm doing that are not pleasing to you. Now, in the midst of this ease, the delay, the call for not fulfilling the duty of the temple and coming up with all kinds of excuses, you know, that people are just kind of settled back and just, you know, going through their lives. And God understands about the temple. It's no big deal. We'll just continue building up our houses. In the midst of all this, this call from God is kind of like an alarm clock. Kind of like, you know, wake up, people. You know, how many times we self-deceive ourselves sometimes? We think everything is okay. God understands. And even though I am doing these things for my own glory, I have a list of 50 excuses to explain why. And therefore, God understands. It's an alarm clock. Awake, you who are sleeping. In the book of Romans, chapter 13, we have that verse. Awake, thou that sleepest. Let's consider the ways that we're going on. Many times in our Christian life, we've got to just stop and consider, especially when the Lord is bringing things into our life. And, you know, we wonder, well, is it the Lord's will or not? Well, let's stop and consider. What was the command of God? What did you believe God had called you to do? What verses did you base that on? Take faith and hope in that. Trust in it and believe that God is in this and He's going to bring you through. Stop and consider your ways. We continue the life of self-satisfaction. That's what these people were doing. Let's satisfy our own families. Let's satisfy ourselves and our homes. And we want to have all these different things that we saw in Babylon. It'd be so nice to have a house like I had in Babylon, you know, with all this fancy stuff that I saw the princes living in over there. That would be so neat. And we were self-satisfying. And meanwhile, we're not considering, are our ways contrary to God's word or are our ways in harmony with God's word? You know, God wants us to stop sometimes and think about where we're going in life. Think about where we're going. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 6, is a very powerful verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to what? His own way. We continue to go in our ways. We've done it since the day we were born. If any of you have kids, you know that your kids like to go their own way. My son, Jared, especially now, is learning what the consequences of his way will be. You know, he's like his mom, and that's why he gets into trouble. But, you know, since we were little children, you know, you put them in the car seat, and they're all stiff and, you know, get down from the table. You're not supposed to be crawling there, and they start screaming. You know, that's my way. I want to do that, and you're telling me not to. We have it as a part of our sinful nature. We want to go our way. You know, think about Lucifer. It all boils down to pride. Lucifer wanted his way. I want to be God. It's the pride of the heart of man that wants our ways, and we've gone our ways continually. But thank the Lord that Christ has paid the price for our ways. The problem is we don't stop and consider, Lord, are my ways against you? And I want to repent of them. And I want to stop going my way, Lord. I want to go in the way of your will. We foolishly forget about our life responsibilities, our duty to the Word. We forget about the will of God so quickly when we become overwhelmed with self and with what we think we need to do. We rush on through life without considering the actions we're committing, without considering the consequences, and without considering what God thinks about them. Is what I am doing in harmony with the Word and with the will of God? These people were continuing the building, the planting, the sowing, the buying, the selling, but they were not considering that what they were doing was disobedience. They did not consider what God thought of their ways. And we need to get a view in our minds as Christians that our ways are not God's ways. We're never going to be able to attain to the ways of God. He is a holy and just God, but our ways can be in harmony with the Word through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But so many times we like our ways. It makes us feel good kind of inside, and it kind of brings us a little momentary satisfaction. And we continue without stopping to consider. Now, in verse 6 here, the prophet begins to say, why should you begin to consider? In other words, there are some things going on, people, in verse 6, that you are ignoring, that you are not stopping and you're not considering and setting your heart on and thinking, is God trying to talk to me? Is God trying to deal with my heart and my life? In verse 6, the prophet begins to show them that circumstances that have been going on around them were the consequences of disobedience and self-service. But because they were not considering their ways, they weren't stopping to think of what God thought of them, then they just continued on, thinking nothing that, oh, this can't be God talking. That's just the way it happens. You know, this can't be God trying to get up with me. And we convince ourselves, well, it would have happened that way anyway. And, you know, this just happens to be a bad harvest, you know. It's not that God is trying to deal with me. And we can push it off into the back of our minds. Because of this selfish work of the people, God is trying to speak to the people by the things we're going to read about in verse 6. They spread a lot of seed, but the harvest was little. They ate, but their hunger was not satisfied. They drank, but they weren't filled. They put clothes on, but they were still cold. They earned money, but the money was like falling through the bag, piercing holes in the bag. God was not going to let them enjoy their labor because their labor was concentrated in the wrong area. God will not let them enjoy their labor because it was not concentrated in His will. This verse illustrates the vanity and emptiness of pouring labor into self and into the world for the glory of man. And that labor should be concentrated to serving God and to the glory of God. It's a vanity and empty life that we're going to know. If you know what God's will is and you are not doing it, then God is not going to let you succeed, or even if you have monetary success. You know, people can go out and make money. It's not hard to do. But you will be miserable. You won't be satisfied. You'll have something missing in your life. God is not going to let you enjoy the things that you do for self like He will if you're serving the Lord. The greatest satisfaction, the greatest things you can know are serving the Lord. I've told you this before, but I remember before I came here, I knew the Lord wanted me to be in full-time service. And I'm talking about, it was miserable because I'm over here painting. I love painting and y'all know that. But I was painting and had a good job. And I tell you, I'd come home at night and I'd lay on my bed and say, Lord, I can't take this anymore. I am miserable. I don't even care that I've got a lot of hours and I'm making a good paycheck. So this is misery because I know, God, that you want me to be in your will as a full-time servant. And I was thankful to the Lord when this door opened up. I tell you, when Pastor Brainerd emailed me, I about jumped through the roof. My wife thought I'd, you know, stubbed my toe, or I was there hooping and screaming, whoa, yes, I can't believe this, you know. But it was just an answer to prayer. And it was just so miserable to be out of, you know you're supposed to be serving God. You know you're not supposed to be in full-time ministry, but doors kept closing and you're searching. Lord, please, something's got to open up. And He works it out. And then it's the greatest joy you'll know is serving the Lord, the greatest joy. And when these people ignored the serving of God, then they found nothing but misery. Only that God would help us see that our lives should not be wasted on self. They should be poured into the service of the Lord. Now, we want to spend some time here on verse 6 and get into some of what these words mean and kind of a principle throughout the Bible that I want to look at. Now, the point the prophet is trying to get across here in verse 6 is that when man serves self and not God, then life will not be filled. Life will not be satisfied. The lust of the selfish life and body of man is insatiable. It cannot be satisfied. You know, I was reading about Calvin, and a lot of commentators refer to Calvin and his commentary on this verse, and I thought I'd read that. It's very appropriate. He says that God brings a curse or judgment on man in two ways. both by withdrawing his blessing so that the earth is parched and the heavens give no rain, and also, even when there is a good supply of the fruits of the earth, by preventing their satisfying so that there is no real enjoyment of them. God can also judge, even if there is prosperity, even if there is, you know, fruit and labors are being successful, God can still judge by preventing the enjoyment of those things. And this is what has happened to the people here. They were, you know, a little bit successful in what they were doing. They did have some crops. They did have drink. They did have food. They did have clothes. They did make money. But because it was centered on self, they couldn't enjoy it. It did not satisfy them. Now, this type of withdrawal of blessing is seen several times in the Old Testament. I want to look at a few verses this morning in the Old Testament to understand this principle that God can withdraw the blessing. Look in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 26. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 26. It says, "And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied." God, even if you have a, you know, here in this verse is talking about they're not going to have much food, but even when they do eat that food, they're not going to be satisfied. And if we went through Leviticus chapter 26, we find that the reason is they were disobedient people. When you disobey God, He may not let you enjoy and have the satisfaction of your ways. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Let's look at that book really quick. There's one verse in chapter 4 and then another in chapter 5 that I want to look at. In chapter 4, verse 8. Ecclesiastes 4, 8. "There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor, and bereave my soul of good? This also is vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail." There's no satisfaction for riches. Chapter 5, in verse 10. "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Nor he that loveth abundance, he won't be satisfied with increase." He won't gain it. He won't be satisfied no matter how much he gains, how much he increases, he won't be satisfied. This is vanity. The eye of man, the desires of man, when they're focused on the worldly things of life, they will not be satisfied. Isaiah chapter 56, verses 10 and 11. I remember the pastor preaching on this when he was doing through Isaiah, a very powerful passage here. "His watchmen are blind," chapter 56, verse 10. "They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough." These false watchmen, these false men that were leading the people astray, these blind prophets, they were not satisfied with what they could gain for themselves. You know, a false preacher, a false prophet typically lives for how can I increase myself? What gain can I get? How much more money can I get for my life? They're never satisfied. And then finally in Micah chapter 6, in Micah chapter 6, the last one we'll look at today in this regard. In Micah chapter 6, verse 14, "Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied. Thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee. Thou shalt take hold, but shalt not deliver. And that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil. Sweet wine, but shalt not drink their wine. Why? For the statutes of Omri are kept," one of the most evil kings, "and all the works of the house of Ahab," definitely an evil king, "and ye walk in their counsels that I should make thee a desolation and the inhabitants thereof and an hissing. Therefore ye shall bear the reproach of my people." When you walk in the ways that are contrary to God, in your ways, then He will withhold blessing. Oh, they were reaping. They were sowing and reaping, but they were not receiving the full benefit and blessing of those things. There is an emptiness and a void to life when God is not the object. When you stop serving God and start serving yourself, man has to fill his life with things and the pursuit of things. You know, you ever seen a young person that... It typically happens with a lot of teenagers. When they are not serving God, they run from one thing to the other. One week, they're wanting to go do this, and they're on fire for it, and they're trying to fill their life with it. And after about a week, I'm tired of that. Let's go do something else. And they're trying to go do something else, you know. It is not satisfied. Man tries to fill his life with things to replace God, but they cannot satisfy him. Now, we do find, however, on the contrary note to that, that there are some things the Bible tells us that bring a satisfaction to life. We found what things do not. Disobeying God and trying to fill them with your ways will not satisfy you, but there are some.